Well, next, the wind down of RTE's documentary unit, best known for programmes like Jerry Hutch, a.k.a. The Monk, and Trackers, The People versus the Banks. It'll be phased out in the coming months. RTE says it's due to voluntary exits and changing audience habits, but it insists it's committed to Irish documentary made through independent producers. Well, Steve Carson, RTE Director of Video, is with us now. Steve, what's the plan here?
Good morning. I think we are going, as an organisation, changing. We're in year one of a five-year transformation plan. In relation to documentaries, I think it's really important to say to audiences that our commitment to broadcasting Irish documentary making is not changing. In fact, next year we're predicting a slight increase in the amount of documentaries being made. So to give you some context, we've calculated this year we'll offer around 72 hours of documentary programming, of which about 9 hours are made by our excellent in-house team. Next year we're looking at about 75 hours. So reporting of RT cutting documentaries, moving out of documentary production or documentary broadcasting isn't right. Our commitment
to documentary remains the same. Well, how many jobs will be left in RTE to support documentaries?
Well, what's happening, as you know, as an organisation, we're getting smaller. We're going through the voluntary exit process. And what we're doing really in the context of that is looking at the resources we have next year and making sure that we are able to deliver the full
range. And what are they looking like, the resources, the number of jobs? In terms of how many jobs will be left in RTE to support documentaries?
Yeah, well, the voluntary exit process hasn't completed as yet, so we'll know the final figures there. But we know we'll have fewer people next year. With fewer people next year, we need to sort of look at doing things differently and reducing doing some things. So our starting point is with fewer people, we need to reduce doing some things, do things differently. What we planned is that we're not committed to making 9 hours of documentary production next year because we can expand that through the independent sector. That frees up our talented teams there to go and reinforce other areas of production which are really important to us. So that's entertainment, Fair City, and increasingly we also want to follow audience needs by offering on-demand content and podcasting. And to give an example of that, we saw last month, actually, or in September, Traitors Uncloaked. It's an in-house production from Limerick, operated as a podcast, but also operated for the RT Player and for RTE Television.
The RTE Trade Union Group, it's critical about what's happening. It says, with whole swathes of the organisation now being primed for outsourcing, this is the future ultimately for RTE. What do you say to the unions?
I think we have a mixed creative economy in Ireland. I think RTE has always been a really important part of that, but we've never been a standalone organisation for the past two decades. We work in closely with independent producers. Many of the big shows that RTE audiences know and love from RTE are already made by independent producers. Everything from The Traitors, Dancing from the Stars, Tommy Tiernan, in documentary, to go back to that, really big pieces, the Quinn Country documentary, Michael Lynn earlier this year, another two-part documentary series coming up. So we work closely with independent producers. Obviously, our remit is to serve our audiences with the widest range of content across all the genres, from documentary, comedy, drama, news, current affairs, sport. So it's a mixed creative economy. Part of our new direction strategy is designed to increase that.
On the latter's page of the Irish Times today, a former RTE TV producer, David McKenna, writes that what's happening, the documentary unit, is further evidence of RTE's policy of transforming the national public service media into a publisher broadcaster. He supports the union view. It's hard to argue against that.
RTE's always worked with independent producers. If you look at the documentary market, the vast majority of our documentaries have been made by independent producers for a number of years. There will be role for continuous production throughout RTE. We're not moving to be a publisher broadcaster. If you actually look at the new direction strategy, we're looking at reduction of numbers of about 400 over 5 years. That still leaves an RTE of 1,400 people. There's vast areas of continuous production, by which I mean daily, weekly programmes like this, which will be made by in-house production teams, particularly when you look at something like sport, when you're trying to offer content across TV, radio and online together. The critical mass of that is in-house production. So we work with independent producers who already supply a great amount of our programming that our audiences know and love from us.
Now, government provides RTE with public funding to provide a public service. RTE uses that money to buy in productions from the private sector, as you've been outlining there. Could you argue that, ultimately the way money is spent, that it undermines the argument for giving public service funding to RTE? Instead, could the state provide a chunk of maybe the licence fee, public money to the private sector to make programmes directly?
Well, there are funds already, like the Sound and Vision Fund with the Commissioner Mon, which are aimed to do that. But of course, that content needs to be broadcast somewhere on services that our audiences could want. So I would say, firstly, that RTE is funded by the licence fee, households paying directly to RTE. Obviously, the government have done a three-year strategy to underpin the funding for that, to deliver the strategy that we're talking about. Independent production companies are part of this creative economy. That extends from everything from theatre companies, movie production companies, games companies, animations companies. You know, the fact that they're private businesses is less important than the fact that I think they make creative content that our audiences want. It's been part of our strategy. If you look at other broadcasters, the BBC, work with independent producers across a whole range of genres.
RTE has programme making guidelines. It has journalistic guidelines. Mm-hmm. How do you ensure then, when you're using independent producers, that they abide to the standards that RTE has?
Well, we do. I mean, this model of working with independent producers, I say, particularly in factual and documentary, has been going back more than 30 years. Every single programme that RTE broadcasts has an RTE staff member behind it, whether that's in the direct production side or in the commissioning side, to make sure that the programme's commissioned or delivered for what the audiences want and that they're compliant with our guidelines. That's how we ensure that.
RTE is saying the future, it'll have to do more with less. What does less look like for video?
Well, we're going to continue to supply the full range of content across the genres. We're going to do it in different ways, working in partnership with the commissioning, with the independent sector, but also with a significant in-house production base as well. Audiences want more from us. They want, obviously, our traditional TV services, radio services, which we're strong in, but we're also growing our on-demand services in the RT Player and some news, the news app next year, the audio app. So it's actually not about doing less. It's about following audiences, offering the content that they want, but doing it in a different way.
Will we see much more outsourcing?
It's not outsourcing to work with the independent production sector. It's part of the creative economy, which RT, I think, is a catalyst and a cornerstone of.
But it is outsourcing, isn't it?
It's working with the full creative economy around us, which we've been doing actually for 30 years, which we're accelerating towards.
And what about The Late Late Show and Fair City then?
Yeah, both those programmes are very important to us because they're very important to our audiences. So under new direction, we have discussed, we look at the future models for them. Could they be made in conjunction with the independent production sector? Another issue with Late and Fair City, they're both made here in RTE in our studios. Our studios have served us well for over 50 years, but they are approaching the end of life. By the end of the decade, we'll have to either invest more than 100 million euro in refurbishment, or we have to look at other options. So we're looking at options to make those shows off-site.
Well look, there is a review taking place in relation to those programmes. Is it likely that, you know, this could be the last year now when they'll be made in-house?
The review starting underway with my colleague Niamh O'Connor, we're looking at the feasibility of how those programmes could be made firstly off-site and by which production model. That's a detailed bit of work. We're not making any decisions until then. The shows are going to continue on-site for next year. It's prudent, given that we've got a five-year window till we reach 2030. It's prudent to do the work now to secure the future of the programmes going forward.
Steve Carson, RTE Director of Video. Thanks for coming in this morning.